Hello to all my Chaverim Yeshua Torah Moshe and around the world. We're continuing on our Shir and Mishnayos, Masechtas Yoma, Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph, which in the Gemara can be found on Mem Zayin Mem Aleph, and also continuing on at Nun Beis Amud Beis. Introduction. This Mishnah is a continuation of Mishnah Gimel in the previous Perek, Perek Dalet, that there described that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would shecht his par and, cobble the dam and give the client, a second client, the dam to stir it until he would return from the avodas of the avoda of the ketores. And then he would take to do the ketores, he would take a shovel and go up to the top head the Rosh Mizbeach, and there he would get some coals and come down and put it on the fourth row of the Azara outside of the Heichal. And now our mission is continuing how he does the actual Ma'aseh of the Ketores. He has the Gechalim ready to go. He has to now get the Ketores and take the both of them into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So the Mishnah says, Hotziu lo, Rashi and the Rav explain, they brought to the Kohen Gadol from the Lishkas HaKelim. What did they bring? Es HaKaf Ves HaMachta. The Kaf is the spoon. The Verisrael says it was made of gold. And the Aruch says it was called a Kaf because it looked like a palm of a hand. The Ziyantif brings from the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph that the Machta, the shovel that was brought to him, was already filled with ketores from the Lishkas Aftinas, because that's where they prepared the ketores. So you have to keep track that there were two shovels. There was one lying on the fourth row outside of the Heichal filled with coals that the Kohen Gadol had brought down from the top of the Mizbeach. And here there was a shovel filled with ketores. Okay, v'chafan malei chafnav, the Mishnah says, v'nasan l'toch hakaf. He scooped up from, as the Tiferes Yisrael explains, he scooped up the ketores, two handfuls worth of ketores, and he put it into the kaf that was there. So hagadol if he gadol, katan if he katan. If he had large hands, so he had a larger amount of ketores that he got, and if he had smaller hands, he put in a smaller amount of ketores. Meiri says there was no specific shear that he had to take of ketores, but everyone did whatever his hands could hold. Okay, kach haya midasa. The Mishnah says this is the amount, as the Rav brings from the Gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, just the similar amount that he used outside of the Kodesh Kodashim was the same amount that he used inside the Kodesh Kodashim. Just like outside, he would scoop into his hands exactly, and with his hands and not with a kli. Same thing inside the Kodesh Kodashim when he pours the ketores from the spoon into his hands, he didn't use a kli to take it from one to the other, and he didn't use a kli that was made in the amount, the size of his hands, but he would go directly into his hands from the kaf. And similarly, the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Kippur in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph says like this: he would reach the Aron, and he would pour the ketores with his thumbs, he would push it into his hands until he would return the complete amount that he had previously. So here it says, "Natalas amachta." He has a machta full of coals, hot coals that he brought down from the top of the mizbeach. And forget about the machta that they brought the ketores in; it's not used anymore because he already poured the ketores into the kaf. So he takes the machta, the Tiferes says, of the gechalim, biyamino, in his right hand. The Rav says, because it was very heavy, and it was warm, and The Kitores that was in the kaf weighed less. Therefore, he took the machta in his right hand and the kaf in his left hand. Tiferes Yisrael says, even though the Kitores is more chashif than the shovel that had the coals, still he would take the machta, the shovel, in his right hand because it was heavier and he needed to carry it. And even according to Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, whose handful that he did of Ketores were weightier more than the Gechalim, I guess he had large hands, still he had to take the machta in his right hand because it was warm and it heated up and he needed something stronger to hold it with. Even though normally when you do halacha in the Beis HaMikdash, like if you shecht an animal, and then you have to do halacha to the Mizbeach, even though that's, you can't do it with your left hand, that makes it puzzle, that's only by Dam. But by Tyrus, it's only Drabbanan, and he says, for Israel, maybe Drabbanan, they didn't make such a gzera, you can do halacha of the Ketores with your left hands. Now, he would then walk into the Heichal. Ha'imahalach b'Heichal, Rashi says, he would enter and then walk through it to the west. He's coming from the east. He's kind of the opening, the doors into the Heichal were on the eastern side, and he would walk through the Kodesh till the western side. Ad shemegia lebein shnei haparechis hafdilas ben kodesh ben kodesh kodashim ubeneihem ama. There were two parechisen divided between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, and it was an ama space between them. The Rav explains that since there was a suffix in the Bayesheni, if the mechitza that divided between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim that used to be in the Beis HaMikdash Harisham, there they had a mechitza, a wall that was one ama thick, and there was a door between the two, between the Kodesh and the Kodashim. So this ama thickness of this mechitza, they didn't know if that was considered to be part of the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim. Therefore, when they made these two parechas and two curtains, one outer one and one inner one, and between them they made a space of an ama to hold the place that the mechitza would have in the first base of Mekdash of the Amma. The first Rel says the reason why it was different in the second base of Mekdash than the first is that in the first base of Mekdash, between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKodashim, there was a wall 30 Ammas high, like the height of the Heichal, and the width of this wall would be an Amma. In the second base of Mekdash, the Navi told them to make the Heichal up higher for 40 Ammas, and since once it was 40 Ammas, a wall of only the thickness of an ama would not be able to stand 40 amas tall. So they needed to use parechas, to use curtains between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim, just like in the Mishkan they had parechas. So here they weren't sure to have one parechas or two, where exactly was the wall space of the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim. They made two parechas in with an ama in between the space in between the two of them. Okay, on. Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with that. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Lo Hayis Hashem El Parachas Achas Bilvad. There was only one curtain instead of the wall. Israel says he held that the width of that Amma was like the inside of the Kodesh Kodashim, like it says in Shmos Parachav of Pasuk Lam Gimel V'Hibdil HaParachas Lachem Bein Kodesh Bein Kodesh Kodashim. And Taisi Yantuf says, so therefore he learned it was only one parechas. And Taisi Yantuf says, Rabbi Yossi learns from the Mishkan, only one parechas is mutter. And therefore, in the Bayesheni, when they built it and they had to use a parechas, he says they made a parechas that was thick and ama. Okay, but now the Mishnah continues. Hachitzona ha'isa perufim en ha'daraim. The outer parechas was bent back from the south. Rashi and the Rav say, we're talking about the Rabbanan now. We're putting aside Rabbi Yossi, we're talking about the Rabbanan where they had the two parechasim. They argue Rabbi Yossi, and they said that this pasuk of the Hivdila parechas is only for the Mishkan. And perufa means that it was bent back towards the outside, and it was held with a golden clasp, so it should always be open from the south. And Tosfos Rid says that wouldn't be covered to always have it open partially. So therefore, he says perufa means that there was a hook to the wall that with the ropes to the southern side. And Yom Kippur, they would open up the ropes. Okay, so that was the outer parechas that had the bent back with ropes to the southern side. But Panimi is the inner one, the inner parechas menat safin from the north. Tiferes Israel says, why didn't they both bend back from the same side, both from the south? Because they didn't want someone to be calling them to look from the Hegel into the Kaddish Gedashim. So it's bent back one side for the outer one, and the other one was bent back on the inner one. So what did he do with the Kohen Gadol? He was holding the kaf and the machta, the kaf with the ketairis, and the machta with the coals. Mahalach menim, he would walk between them. Rashi and Rav says he would walk in where it was bent back on the southern side and walk between the two parechasim till Achmegiel itself until he reached the northern wall. Rashi and Rav says that's what was bent back by the northern side. So he gil itself and holach panav ladaram. He would then turn to the south, and he was inside now the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he would walk mahalach l'smolo ima parochas. He'd be walking now with his left side towards the parochas. And Rashi Rav says mishin nechnas tochal bais Kodesh HaKadoshim. As he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he turned his face to the south to walk up until where the Bein Habadim, where the two poles were from the Aron, which was in the middle of the space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when you're walking from north to south, your left side will be to the Mizrach, and that's where the Parochus was, to his east. So his left side was towards the Parochus. So Achi Megiel L'Aron, says in the Mishnah, he would walk until he would reach the Aron. The Rav says the place of the Aron, not the Aron itself, because in the Bayis Sheni there wasn't an Aron there. Now, the Tiferes Israel, we'll see. We'll talk about the difference, what happened to the Aron. But meanwhile, he gil Aron nosen as hamachta ben shnei habadim. He reached the place of the Aron. He would put the machta down by the two poles of the Aron. Tiferes Israel says, as if the poles were there. And the Rashi and the Rav say the poles were very long. They would reach to the parochas, one to the west and the Sheni to the second to the east, and one was placed on the head of the Aron to the northern side, and one to the head of the Aron to the southern side. So it sounds from what they said, he would actually stop as he was walking along the parochas. He would stop where the Badim would have reached. Meiri argues, and he says, no, if he reached the place where the Aron's Badim would have reached, he then turned and he walked to where the Aron was. And he would stand opposite the Aron itself. So now he got to the place where he needed to get to, and now he had to get the Ketores burning. So it says in the Mishnah, Tzava es ha-Ketores agabi gechalim. He would then pour the Ketores onto the Gechalim, v'nismali kalabayis ashan, and the whole Hechad, the Kodesh Gedashim, would be filled with smoke. Tosi Yishan and the Ritva explain that the Machta had burned the Ketores with the Gechalim on it, with the Ketores on top of the Gechalim, because there was no Mizbeach there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he had to use the shovel for the burning of the Ketores. Every day when he did his regular Ketores in the Kodesh, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he would burn the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. The Rambam Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur, Perek Daleth Halacha Aleph, describes it. No sin is a machta bein shnei habadim. You put the machta down between this place at the Beit HaBadim, and by Nisheni Shalaya Aron, where there's no Aron in the Beit Sheni, Minicha al Evan Hashasiyah, he put it on the Evan Hashasiyah, which we will describe in the next Mishnah, the foundation stone. V'okhe svas hakaf peroshe etzbozov. He would hold the edge of the spoon that had the Ketores piled up on it with his fingertips, obashinef, or with his teeth, umaar hakatiris begolda. He would then push the Ketores with his thumbs into L'tol Chafnav, into his two hands, until he piled it up into his handfuls, the original amount that was there previously. This is a very difficult type of avoda to do in the Mikdash, to get all the Ketores out of the cup into his hands without dropping. So he had to use his fingertips, he had to use his and he uses thumbs, and he uses teeth in order to get it poured in. V'tzovres ketores al gabei chal. Now he has two handfuls of ketores. He then piles it on top of the chalim, biyadiv, with his hands. Lefnim b'machta, he pours it to the inner side of the machta, away from him. G'dei sheketores k'rov al aron, towards the aron. Rechokim ipanav, far away from him. Shlo yechpei, doesn't want to burn. He's going to start pouring it in to the further away from him, closer to the aron, and then fill it in closer as he gets closer to him. He waits there until the whole Kodesh Kodashim gets full of smoke. Then Yatza Ubalo Baderech Beis Knesaso. He then goes back the way he came in. Rashi says, just like he went facing the south till he reached the place of the aron, face as he was facing the south. Also, when he goes back, he doesn't turn around and start walking forward to go out, but he goes backwards, still facing the aron. Umespal tefila ketzara beis achitzon, and he says a small tefila in the beis achitzon. What does that mean? Rashi and Rav says in the heichal, in the kodesh, and the Rav brings the brach, the tefila. He said, "He rots of anach Hashem lakai sheim shanazu shchuna." If this year is a very hot year, it should also be a wet year to balance things out. The Beis Yehuda shouldn't lose its rulership. No one in Klal Yisrael should need stucco one from the other. They shouldn't need another nation to sustain them. Don't be concerned about the tefillah that the people who are traveling, which means because they are traveling and they're going to daven not to have rain, but Klal Yisrael needs rain, so don't listen to them. So he didn't have a long tefillah. Shalal havis es Yisrael, not to scare the Klal Yisrael. The Rav says that they would think that if he doesn't come out, he might have died. And the Sfer Yisrael says, because if the Kohen Gadol wasn't a roi, wasn't worthy Kohen Gadol, or he was mocked like the tzedukim, instead of pouring the ketores on the gechalim, on the coals, inside the base of the Kodesh Kodashim, the tzedukim felt you should pour it outside of the Kodesh Kodashim and then carry it in when it's already poured one on the other, and that was wrong according to the chachamim, according to the Purushim. So if he did it the wrong way, or he wasn't roi, then he would come out, they'd have to pull him out, as he would die in the Kodesh Kodashim. Moving on to Perikei Mishnah Beis, which in the Gemara is on Daf Yinon Gilmam Beis, and it says Mishnah Nitala Aron. Tosfos Yontif says when the Aron was taken, he brings from the Gemara Tosfos Yontif from the Gemara Nun Gilmam Beis. It doesn't say Mishnah Nignas, but that was hidden. But it says Mishnah Nitala was taken, so that must our Mishnah must be like the Man D'Aron in Shkol and Perik Vav Mishnah Beis, that the Aron was Gola Nigla to Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Aron was hidden in its place in the Beis HaMikdash by Yoshia HaMelech when he got a Nevuah. They gave him a Nevuah that the Beis would be Charef, so he had it hidden away towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah continues, Evan Hayis HaSham, there was an Evan. The first Israel says, in the middle of the Kodesh Kodashim, and on that point, the Tosfos Yontif says, "Even Haisa Shom be'ensa beis kodesh kedashim," like it says in Megillah Perek Aleph Daf Yud. It says there that the Evan that Moshe made, the Aron that Moshe made, was 10 amos for each side. And he wonders, Tosfos Yontif on the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Bechira Perek Dal Halacha Aleph, that said this Evan was to the western side in the Kodesh Kedashim, and Tosfos Baba Basra Daf Chav Hey who said in Divrei Maslov Tzvah that it was to the eastern side. And he says neither of them explained where they came up with this. So he is learning that it was in the middle of the base of the Kashuk Hadashim, not to the west and not to the east. And the Mishnah continues, Miyamos Nevi'im Rishonim, this Evan was there from, the stone was there from the times of Nevi'im Rishonim. Rashi says, from the Gemara in Mem Chesem and Beis, that David and Shmuel were the ones who brought to our attention this Evan. For Israel says that it means in that day they discovered the stone, not that they placed it there. And because at the end of the Mishnah, it's going to say, it's Shasi, it was a foundation, it was always there. And we said in the Shas, because that's from where the world was created. So we're about to say that. Now the Mishnah says, Shasi Hayanikris. The Rav says that Shasi means Yesod, a foundation, because from that place on, the world was founded. That Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world from that point on, the Radvaz and Shuva Tavshin Beites. Chavtes writes that Tavshin Chavtes writes that it was the stone that's now in the Dome of the Rock, called the Dome for this rock, that's the Evan Shasiyah. And Rashi on the Dalai Beis Rei Maslam Yitzion Nivra says that Tzion was created first, Yerushalayim, around it. Kadosh Baruch Hu stuck clods of earth until he had the whole world and built from that point on. So it says in the Mishnah, Gavoha mena aretz shalosh etzbos. This rock was three finger lengths, finger widths big. V'alahe naisen, and there he would put the machta on that stone when the Aron was not there. Tzvi Yisrael says the machta was placed there, and the Radvaz writes that even though nowadays the stone in the Dome of the Rock is very tall as two people, so that's because they dug in Yerushalayim, did excavations during the years, but he says that is the exact stone that the Kohen Gadol would place the machta, the shovel, with the guitarist burning on it. That's the end of our shiur today. If you have any comments, questions, complaints, you can reach me at sheldon_rothman@yahoo.com or call me at 052-244-9331. Have a good day.